I understood from other devotees that you said that anyone who's taken birth in India is in the mode of goodness, but anyone who's taken birth in the United States is in the mode of passion, and yet everyone is born Sudra. So could you make it clear to me? I don't understand. We're all born Sudra. How are the people born in the mode of goodness in India and the people in the United States born in the mode of passion?
Well, it's the same thing that if you are born in a rich family, but you can squander away your money and become a poor man. To be born in a rich family is not a guarantee that he will continue to be rich.
How do you achieve the transcendental blessings of Lord Krishna? But better still, how do you achieve the transcendental blessings of the spiritual master?
By carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. 10%.
I'm telling you, it's really. What is it supposed to?
How does one achieve the mercy of the spiritual master? The real mercy of the spiritual master, in order to achieve full Krishna consciousness.
The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. So, by serving the spiritual master, then we know how to serve Krishna. And in that way, we are receiving the mercy of Krishna. So, this process is a descending process that we're receiving the benediction moon of Lord Krishna's mercy through the spiritual master. And Lord Krishna is saying, surrender to me. But the question is, how to surrender? So the spiritual master is there to explain how to surrender to Krishna. So, by doing what the spiritual master wishes, that is what Krishna wishes. Just like the representative of an industrialist, or the head of a university, or any big man, his representative can distribute how best to serve in that way. And when that is being carried out, then the mercy is distributed.
Simply, you know, following up to orders and instructions, then this will destroy all material desires that we have. We have no real desire to serve Guru Krishna, and we'd rather be in his place as we are here. And similarly with the spiritual master, we don't really know how to serve him. We can say, I surrender to you, Srila Prabhupada, but it doesn't mean very much. Will simply by following your instructions you have set down, will this be enough to destroy all material desires we have?
What do you mean by material desires?
Even within spiritual life?
Define material desires.
material desires, to enjoy the sense of the body, to desire
the sense gratification.
Yes. Sensual gratification.
Yeah.
Even within spiritual life, one can desire to be a great spiritualist, or one can desire to be a best devotee, or best at doing this, or being closest to the spiritual master, and things like that.
That is not material desire.
That is not material desire?
No. Material desire means anything. I shall eat more, I shall sleep more, I shall have sex life more, I shall depend more, these are material. I shall serve more Krishna, that is not material. I shall try my best for serving Krishna. These are not material, these are spiritual. Desire you cannot stop. That is not possible. So long you are, your desires are there. Desire should be purified. When I desire to gratify my senses, that is material. When I desire to satisfy Krishna, that is spiritual. The desire is there. Not to stop desire, but desire for personal sense gratification, that is material. And desire for satisfying Krishna, that is spiritual. So you have to understand how you are desiring. Are you desiring for your personal gratification, or you are desiring to satisfy Krishna? That anyone can understand. If you are in doubt, then ask your spiritual mind. I am desiring like this, whether it is material or spiritual. That's all. General definition is, desiring for personal gratification is material. Desiring for Krishna satisfaction is spiritual. Now, because we are not experienced, we may commit mistake, one for the other. Therefore, whenever there is doubt, refer the matter to your spiritual mind. Mahanadi Pradhapa says that don't desire. That is not possible. Don't desire is not possible. Desire must be there. But I have to see whether I am desiring for my personal gratification or I am desiring for Krishna. That is to be there. And if you are in doubt, then ask your spiritual mind. Is it clear?
Yes.
In our neophyte stage, how can we have actual a desire to satisfy Krishna?
Therefore you have to refer to the spiritual master.
Yes,
what? Refer the matter to your spiritual master. If he says yes, it is all right. If he says no, then it is not right. In primary school, the small child is writing and saying to the teacher, says it is all right, and he says yes, it is all right. That's all right. If he says no, and then you have to write it. Oh, and candlestick. please. Can we?
In your room?
Yes.
And your light is on.
Huh?
According to that came like 3 million. That is the more in about that. 1,600,000. So that is almost 95 million. 95 million miles orbit and going only.
Which they say that the moon's only 263,000 miles away.
And there's no. Long name, according to the monkey, about.
Yeah, it says, the Vishnu Purana describes that the covering of the universe is 260 million yojanas and 2,080,000,000 miles away from the sun. The distance from the sun to the earth is 100,000 yojanas. So I took this reference and I added it to the reference on 22.8. 22.8 says that above the rays of the sunshine, by a distance of 100,000 yojanas, is the moon. Then he says, let me take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas above the rays of the sunshine.
How about the rays of the sun?
So that.
But the sun is far away from the earth.
But the sun only goes as far as the rays of the
That's how I written calculation. That's now. I am just set up as the need, more than accepted about the sun. To their calculation, the sun is from the earth at a distance of 93 million miles. So, 93 million miles. And 1,600,000. It is about 95 million miles. So 95 million miles, even at the speed of 25,000 per hour, how is it going to go across the world? Well, there is an argument. I should say, your words in my favor. That is great. Yeah. Whatever is in my favor is good. And Mars is beyond that. So the island will calculate that. That it will, at the rate of 18,000 miles per hour, it takes about 7 months. Go to the mountain. And above that, another 1,600,000 miles above the Mars. So, it will take about 9 months, 10 months.
Actually, that's how long it took.
Well, they say it's 200.
This spaceship to Mars was supposed to have been launched almost a year ago.
You know, their calculation of the Mars is over 200 million miles.
200 million miles.
over more than that. I can't remember the exact figure, but it was more than 200 million.
But the sun is 93 million miles. They're above that.
Other direction. The sun is that way and more than that way.
It's away from the sun.
That the sun, solar system, The sun is sister, and then a circle.
Yes.
It is not concluded above. What is there above? How they calculate around the seven stars of the pole star? What is their calculation?
They say that it's hundreds of light years away.
Huh?
They say that the North Star is hundreds of light years away.
No, what does it mean, North?
It's always because it's
up. North is up.
Isn't it fixed star? It's the one star that doesn't move. The North Star, the other stars move, this one doesn't. The North Star doesn't move while all the others move. So therefore they call it the fixed point of north.
The sailors always used to point to it.
Where is the North Star? There. Solar system is. Here is sun. And circle. Different types of other planets. So where is this North Star? Where is this each other? To their solar system.
It's a long ways away from their solar system, they say.
Huh?
They say it's many billions of miles away from their solar system.
So, away, which side? Up, down, north, south, or to what is it?
Must be up.
And then what is the top? Why do they take up, north? When you see the map, why do you take north and the up? And south as the down. Why is the destination like that? So north means up.
Can you see the North Star from Australia?
I don't think so.
There's different stars that are visible from Australia.
Oh, it must be.
They do all navigation.
Australia is in this place and this place. If North Star is visible from here, it can be visible from there.
No, I think they said that it's only visible from the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh?
In the Southern Hemisphere, it's a completely different set of stars. You can't see the same set of stars from the Southern Hemisphere that you can from the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, they take the navigational readings from what's called the Southern Cross. It's a group of stars, and they take it from
there. Seven stars are not visible?
I don't know about the seven stars. I don't think the North Star is visible.
The North Star is not visible, the seven stars are visible.
No, other stars are visible.
How is it visible? Because the seven stars are attached to the North Star.
Well, I don't know about the seven stars, but there's some stars are visible.
That's called
some stars
the Big
are
Dipper.
Huh?
In the West, they call the seven stars the Big Dipper.
Big Dipper.
And the North Star is one end of that.
That's the plough, right? It looks like that.
Yeah.
Like a ladle.
No, you can't see that in the sun.
Subtosi.
That's not visible in the sun.
Huh?
That is not visible in the southern hemisphere.
I do not think
it is. In India it's visible.
That's northern hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not visible in Australia.
What is
It makes sense.
What?
It makes sense, though.
What is what?
That you couldn't see it because the Earth, they go like this. And the sun also, and all the stars are up there.
But you cannot see the sun also.
The sun is above it.
No, you can see the sun because the sun is going around and moving up and down.
They say the sun is here, the Earth is here. So the Earth is turning around like this. Therefore, sometimes you can see the sun.
And the seven stars.
In the nighttime, you can not see, and in the daytime, you can. The Earth is turning around and going like this.
Do you learn the seven stars somebody?
Yeah, I look. I remember when I looked. I'm sure they're not visible. In the northern hemisphere, they're always visible, but in the southern hemisphere, they're not. You can check on it. But I'm sure.
You can ask anyone for what to do. So if there's a seven star, I believe it.
Yeah,
true. Or you can ask any mathematician.
This is very confusing.
This chart was very carefully done. And this chart was very carefully done. I appreciated it after I studied it for about a week. Very carefully done.
Did I do it to me in this chart?
Yeah. There's only... Yeah. But otherwise, it was pretty good.
To translate is very difficult for me. In Sanskrit language. I'm done as far as possible. But when we make our planetarium, we have to consult the Indian astronomer, our mathematician, in this way. Correct, if there is something to be used to
Krishna wouldn't let me find any. Every time I tried, it was a failure. I couldn't find anybody.
It is just like this chandelier. The north star is up, and it is hanging. And the whole thing is moving.
You should take your camera one day, put it on the roof and point it at the pole star, and you'll see everything going like this. You put it on that beam where it's open all the time.
Yes, open all the time.
You should do that, and you'll see everything going like that. Prove it. It'll knock out the whole scientific world.
They've already done that, though, but they said it's for a different reason.
Well, that's what they say, but we got to prove.
But they agree on that it doesn't work.
Yeah, but then why everything's going around it? You can see it. Everything goes like that around the pole star. The whole thing. You can see little circles all around the pole star. That proves it. They can't deny it.
You can leave the camera lens open.
When our night in Australia is there.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, not necessarily.
Partially.
No, it goes by the side on the earth around this way.
When it's nighttime in England, then it's daytime in Australia.
Huh?
When it's nighttime in England, then it's daytime in Australia.
Yeah, just like it's midsummer here now, and in Australia it's midwinter.
Because the day and night goes by the way it's situated around the earth, like India's daytime is nighttime now, and here's.
When it's daytime in Alaska, it's also daytime in Australia.
Yeah.
Because they're more or less on the same.
Yeah. It goes by the up.
It's on the same side.
Longitude.
In that sense.
Well, it's opposite. England and Australia are opposite.
Mm.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
it's night time there as well.
Therefore, they used to say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Because when it was daytime in Australia, it was nighttime in Britain.
They say the sun never sets in the British Empire because the sun never shines on the British Empire to set.
No, dear. <it doesn't. laughs>
He says, what is for me, morning and evening? Beyond that. There are many millions of universes, but that is not visible.
Yes, they would dispute that. They have no proof.
We have nothing proof. We have got proof. That bread developed 200 years ago. And this bread, you cannot calculate how it was. That is different. They were microbes at that time. While there are microbes, this development took place. In the beginning, there are microbes.
That's what they say. Again, they're using their argument against them. So again, you're using their argument against them.
Yes, they are microbes. What can you think of? So when you are microbes, the basic civilization was there. You have to admit. Because we speak of millions and trillions of years. And they speak of some thousands of years. And they say the what is called human brain, the technical, 40,000 years ago. Gave it place.
40,000?
Yeah. 40,000 or something,
40. Oh, but it wasn't civilized. It wasn't civilized.
The Pleistocene is 1 million. Pleistocene, but the brain developed 40,000.
Mm-hmm. Because the life is beginning from microbial. But ours in the beginning, there was Brahma's brain. Who is in charge of creating this universe of Rapha.
How many years is that counting?
You cannot calculate.
It's logical that things were originally very big or very developed and then became degraded. It isn't logical that things were originally small and became developed, because everything we see in the material world becomes eroded or becomes degraded over a period of time. A big stone gets washed down.
From nature we see that things start nice and decay. Therefore this supports our facts also, that there is high civilization, now the civilization is lower. It supports that.
Yeah, that is called collision.
Yes.
Everything is degraded.
Some people ask why there are no signs of dinosaurs at the time of Ramachandra. Sometimes they ask
that. Oh, who wrote? Who says there was no dinosaur?
Because
and what is that nonsense dinosaur? That is manufactured by Darwin.
They put together the bones.
Big bones.
Big bones can be had, but still, teeming gone.
Yeah. Also, people were bigger at that time, so the little animals might have been bigger.
No, apart from that, the teeming gone is there. It is about maybe 2 miles, 3 miles long. What is that? In the Pacific Ocean, if there is a fish 2 miles long, what is that?
The tip of a gillifish.
Huh?
Oh, I see. They swallow
In the Ramayana, it talks about large birds, but it doesn't mention dinosaur.
But dinosaur, it is English word.
Hmm.
There may be some Sanskrit. Just like Timikal. But Timikal is not quite in the English dictionary. But this word is done. The Bhagavad, there is Tikkun Bhagavad. We haven't got to tax our brain so much for this thing. But we can have an idea of the whole universe through the knowledge given by Bhagavad. We are not concerned where is the sun, where is the Mars. We kick all these things. We go to a Vaikuntha. Even there are such things. There are, undoubtedly. We don't care for this. Billion planets. We don't care.
Like the scientists were arguing recently, they made a big campaign against astrology because they said that the stars and the planets have no influence on human behavior or human life. Therefore, astrology is useless. To lie only missing one man. But the scientists say here that the planets and the stars have no influence on human life. Therefore, why are they spending so much time studying? And trying to go to them. They have no influence. Waste of time.
Then how long they study? If
as
they
long as they
study,
get money from the government, they?
What they study? The lifetime will be finished.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to be a dog. Then they stop studying, they will bark. What they are going to do there?
It's nonsense. There are so many people just do nonsense in the name of science because they're weakened. They don't have an idea of the meaning of life. So they say the quest for new worlds. They don't even know what they're questing for. Nonsense.
So
and what benefit they will do?
No benefit. Save money.
I read in the paper.
From the economic point of view, this is the worst of money. But they do.
One scientist did research in Texas.
For knowledge sake, we have got this Bhagavad. Bhagavad says it is like this, is that. That's all. Why shall I go to research? Unless I've got some business.
Because they're not satisfied, they want to see something new. We're satisfied with the nectar of the Bhagavad. They want something new because they're dissatisfied. They're dissatisfied, so they want something new.
Dissatisfied is the material life. Nobody is satisfied with any position. That is material world. If you have got 1,000 rupees, you are not satisfied. If you have got 1,000,000 rupees, you are not satisfied. If you have got many millions of rupees, you are not Billa, ask them. Are you satisfied? Why are you doing business?
Nobody is having this. Indra is not satisfied. Chandra is not satisfied. There is fight between the demons and the... This is material world. Nobody can be satisfied. And that's what Bhavandev says, that it is not possible to be satisfied. When Bali Maharaj says that you are so learned speaking that your instructions are to be accepted by the greatest learned man, but still you are so childish that you are asking me 3 feet of land. This is your childish innocence. So why not ask more? He said, no. I said, you ask more. If I ask more, that will not satisfy me. If I ask more, that will not satisfy me. It will never satisfy me. The best thing is, now whatever I need at the present moment, that much I want. And he is giving reason that a beggar should not ask from the giver more than what is absolutely necessary. So why should I ask more? Bali Maharaj was introducing it that he is a child. So what 3 feet will do of his beggar? He did not know that 2 feet is sufficient to cover up and down. So for argument's sake, that you are asking me, that's right. Exactly as you are, small one.
It also states in the Bhagavatam that a beggar should not ask something that someone cannot give.
Beggar, they should not ask. Alms, little, not big amount from one person. The brahmacharis were sent house to house. Begging means alms, musti. One musti. So any family, one armful of rice, to give anyone. Those days, practically. So, where I have to go now?
We're thinking that it would be good if you rested for the day. We're thinking that it would be good if you rested for the day and didn't go down. Because yesterday you were quite tired after you went down.
If you have to go out tomorrow morning, better thing is to rest completely today and not strain yourself. Have at least one more day's full rest. Because yesterday was the first time that you've had a full meal also.